You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. If it's your first time here, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they don't do for anyone else. On this program, Questlove, using black people as accessories, he made a comment about that. We want to talk about that. We also want to talk about Halle Berry is back in the news. She's back in the spotlight because she has a new television program coming out. She's going to be on TV. And affordable healthcare facts. Also, there was some internet stuff going on, so we are going to talk about in the news a man who said he'll never date black women. We have that, the world of news and entertainment, and more. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Black on Black Crime. If you have not joined our Facebook group, it's BOBC Show on Facebook. Go like us there. And if you missed the show last week, actor Samuel Jackson versus the POTUS. POTUS was last week with Victoria Rao. She made a comment about black productions. They just can't be Tyler Perry and Oprah. We had a Duke professor had a discussion about racism in America and another discussion about black women being allowed to join white sororities. That was all in last week's show. You can check it out in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. We like to start off the program. Oh, the chat room is now open, by the way. So if you want to join us, ask questions in the chat room. That's cool. I know we're having a few technical difficulties, so our panelists will be joining us in a second. But in the meantime, we want to talk about some of the things that's going on in the world of news. Actress in Bad Mama Jamma, Halle Berry, has delivered a baby boy this past weekend at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. This is her second child for the Oscar winner. Actress, singer, and Grammy Award-winning Lauryn Hill has been released from Minimum Security Federal Correctional Institute in Danbury, Connecticut this week after serving a few months in lockdown. So Lauryn Hill is back, and she has a new release. So phone in and let us know what your thoughts are about her new release. Sacramento Kings center DeMarcus Cousins pledged $1 million to help Sacramento families in need. Now, Cousins, who made a quick mention of his generous gift at the end of a press conference, he was announcing his contract extension with the Kings. He received a four-year, $62 million contract. He said that some of the money will go to Sacramento's mayor, Kevin Johnson's foundation. He donated his whole signing bonus to help Sacramento families. As much as we jump on professional athletes generally when they're doing something bad, this is something to talk about. So, you know, good job on that. Forrest Whitaker is reportedly signed on to play former Secretary of State Colin Powell in an upcoming biopic. The new movie entitled Powell will focus on a pivotal moment of Powell's 2002 speech to the UN in which he dramatically claimed Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and sacrificed his sterling reputation in service of the Bush administration. So Forrest Whitaker is reportedly playing that. They didn't have any dates of when it was getting released. Now, the sisters of the woman who was fatally shot after a high-speed car chase last week in Washington, D.C., said Miriam Carey simply feared for her life when she led authorities through the nation's capital. One of the sisters said, "My sister was fleeing. She was trying to figure out how to get out of there. the Carey sisters, who confirmed that Carey's daughter is not 19 months old. Everyone kept saying she's 19 months old, and it was widely reported. They say that she's currently in a safe place, and the little girl is 13 months old. So they try to make her closer to two. Nope. And they also confirmed that their sister was being treated for postpartum depression, but said she was under a doctor's supervision and was in the process of being taken off medication. She said beyond that, her mental capacity was fine, according to her sisters, despite what authorities have said. Their sister did not have a political agenda with the White House or anyone else. She never talked badly about the president either. So Amy Carey Jones said that. And their other sister, Valerie, a retired police officer from New York City, she said her sister, she wasn't walking around delusional, which is what we want the public to understand. She was not delusional. So as I said before on a different program, it is going to come out. Just wanted to set the record straight and have everybody move a little slow. On that note, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us. The chat room is now open, but if you want to check out some of our past broadcasts, you can go to espritradio.solarsyracuse.com/BOBC and check us out in the archives. You can also check us out on iTunes if you want to download the program. Now, in another story, Tony Jenkins, a Middle Tennessee waitress at a Red Lobster, received a racial slur instead of a tip, said that she considers the whole thing a blessing. Now, when the story went viral, a man in California took action and posted the details on a website called YouCaring.com. People donated to a fund called Tips for Tony. And late last week, Jenkins received a check for more than $10,000 after that. Now, Red Lobster suspended Jenkins after a few days because she posted a picture of the receipt on her Facebook page. And although she was able to buy a car, pay back student loans, she said she plans to keep her job at Red Lobster. After all, she said, it's currently Crab Fest and she needs gas money. So I have to give her nothing but respect for that. But it's cool that she actually said, you know what, I'm going to still work. It doesn't matter that everybody else is, you know, thinking that she's going to take that money and bounce, but she stayed. All right, I just wanted to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We have on this program, we're going to talk about Questlove's statement about using black people as accessories. It's pretty much our main topic today. We have some other stories in the news. Halle Berry is back in the spotlight. We'll talk about that. And I'm going to give you some affordable health care facts. Since October 1st, you can check out the exchange, so they're up, and you can check out the pricing. All right, you got 6 months to do it, so no rush. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We'll be back after this break and after this message.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. Americans can now shop for health coverage on the new health insurance exchanges. More than 6 million people visited healthcare.gov on the first day, and the federal hotline received more than 81,000 calls at 1-800-318-2596. Enrollment for 2014 health benefits runs until March 31st. Coverage chosen before December 15th takes effect on January 1st. Katherine Jackson, the mother of the world's greatest entertainer, Michael Jackson, says she feels vindicated despite losing her wrongful death lawsuit against concert promoter AEG Live. A jury found unanimously that AEG hired Dr. Conrad Murray. He is in jail for killing Michael Jackson with an overdose. A survey of more than 2,000 American adults showed that on average the perfect age for females was 53 years old because they are happy to reap the benefits of their age. Experts say the reason behind the choice is that women in their 50s still act as though they are 35 years old, dating younger men and becoming famous. Game Show Network announced they signed comedian actor Delray Davis as host of their new game show. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet on ACN.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
Is a birthday bash for the one, the only first lady and diva of song and dance and acting, Melba Moore. And you're invited to the Cutting Room at 44 East 32nd Street, New York, New York, to be a part of the celebration and festivities. Advance tickets for $40, $45 at the door, and a $20 food minimum is guaranteed to get you full and ready for the birthday bash of the year. Doors open at 6:30, showtime, featuring the lady herself, Melba Moore, is at 8 o'clock p.m. Advanced tickets available online at TicketBlock.com.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We are broadcasting on Ask Kathleen Network as well. I invite you to join us. We have a pretty filled show today. Finesse will be joining us shortly along with Kathleen. So, you know, we'll wait for those guys to come in before we get into the good stuff. I want to say hey to Lavinia. Check out Nerdy Black Chicks, Late Night with Nerdy Black Chicks, on their network on BTR Wednesday night at 11 p.m. And also, you can check us out on Friday, Esprit Radio, EspritNet News. Okay, all of that is going on. Now, I just want to say that in the world of, I guess in the world of government shutdown, I want to kind of do a little segment on what's going on with affordable health care and some of the health care facts. Right, so what's going on with the health care? So before we get started, I want to say that affordable health care, which is kind of nicknamed Obamacare for the people who are trying to slam it, had about 8.1 million people visit that website over the week, or a little less than the week actually when it first came up. It was created to only kind of work with 60,000 simultaneous users, and there were 250,000 simultaneous users on the website, so there was some problems, but that was a good problem to have, that they had a bunch of people, so the system was a little bit locked up. States like New York in the first 24 hours had over 10 million people on their site, because you have to remember, the site that crashed is just the federal government site, but the way affordable health care is that each state was supposed to create their own exchange. So for the states who wouldn't do it, the Mississippis, Louisianas, all of those guys who did not create their own exchange, they have to use the federal exchanges for their state. Each state gets to administer their own exchange, and when you can't find your state, you can just go to the federal site, and they will point you to your exchange. Hope you followed that. So you have 6 months to sign up for affordable health care. If you sign up by December 15th, you will be covered by January 1st, but you still have till March 31st to sign up in the open enrollment period, and I think every year there's a regular open enrollment period as well. So here's a couple of facts, or some of the facts from affordable health care that you should know that I think major media has been kind of skimping on. So one of them is that their health savings accounts have no limits. There are no timelines for usage that roll over and can be willed to your dependents, by the way. So you can buy insurance across state lines. Technically, if you move to another state, you don't have to go looking for an insurance company that abides by those state regulations. You can pick health insurance in another state if you like. And also, small business pools. If you want to pool in with another small business to keep your costs down to get into this pool, you can do that across state lines as well. And independent contractor pools for those people who are don't have a business but are independent contractors, they can actually create pools and use those across state lines. This is all a part of affordable health care or Obamacare that everybody is talking about. So just so that we clear up some of the bad information that's out there, I want to make sure that we did some points on Black on Black Crime, just in case you're wondering. Black on Black Crime is when Black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other Black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. But at this moment, we are kind of just doing some open news segments before we get into any of our discussion points. Now, another thing, affordable health care, there's transparency of cost of service and fees. So they now have to tell you up front what your cost is, and you just can't get a bill that's going to open your eyes up after you get the service. Same pricing model given to insurance companies that are given to individual buyers of health care services. There's also tort reform. I actually know that, but we're not going to talk about the tort reform laws that have changed, but there has been some. And now there's a medical court created. So if you have medical claims or some problems, you can actually go through a new system that allows you to get some clarity on some things if you've been mistreated, but you can actually go to medical court. That's also written in the provisions. There's a tax write-off for premiums. They stopped that a long time ago, but you can now write off your premiums on your taxes. You have a tax write-off for dependent care program premiums. There's interest-free lines of credit to pay off catastrophic care for those who qualify based on income. So you can now borrow interest-free if you need to pay off some medical bills, where most people end up filing bankruptcy. Now you can just go and seek out the exchanges, and they will help you through that. And the biggest change to Medicaid qualifications now allow 47% of those uninsured and that are childless adults to qualify for Medicaid. And if you already have insurance, affordable health care does not affect you. There's no increase in anything, but you can check the exchanges in case you want to get off of your medical and go into the exchanges. You have the ability to do that as well. Oh, before I go any farther, I just kind of talked about the idiosyncrasies in the affordable health care legislation, but you know what I did leave out? I left out the big things. You can stay on your parents' insurance until the age of 26. Also, there's no lifetime limit. A lot of preventative care is now covered under affordable health care that wasn't covered before. And you cannot be dropped if you're sick. There's no more rescissions. You can't say, oh, we're going to pull back your eligibility. Can't do that. Companies can no longer impose lifetime limits generally because of a minor mistake on your application. They literally go back on your application and say, oh, you made a mistake. Preventive care, immunization, mammograms no longer require co-pays. Women, they don't need referrals to go see an OBGYN, and they are allowed to use it at the nearest emergency room without penalty. And health reform make it clear that you can choose any available primary care provider as your provider. Any available participating pediatrician can be your child's primary care provider. So it's not just a few things. There's a lot of things inside of health care reform or Obamacare. So don't let anybody make you think it's just one little thing. There's a lot of things in there. So just wanted to share that. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in if you want to hit one of your lines to join the program. Feel free. Just wanted to cover this a little bit on our first segment. I am going to take a quick break on this one. And I don't mean to call the Republican scrubs because they're fighting about something that's not even necessary that we talk about. And, had to rake it over the coals. But I want to let you know you could join in on the program. We're going to come back. I actually have a clip from Arsenio that I want to play. So I've been watching Arsenio. So just in case you missed it, John Henson from Living Single was actually on Arsenio, so we want to check him out and play you a little clip from the Arsenio Hall show. Check it out. I know it's different in everybody's time zone. So if you want to check it out, it's out there. All right, we'll be back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this break.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your whites to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your whites back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good.
Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Him from his roles on Living Single and The Hughleys. Please welcome stand-up comic John Henson.
Name is John Henson, and a while ago I was on a little show called Living Single, and let me tell y'all, that right there, that was five of the best years of my life right there, because I work with four of the finest black women in Hollywood. Oh! Oh, my goodness. Queen Latifah, Kim Coles, Kim Fields, Eric Alexander. Ooh, I was never late for work. Oh, no. Beautiful women. And that's the thing I loved about these girls, because the girls in this show, these are real women. You know, Hollywood, they always, you got to slim down to be a certain size, size four, size six. Not the girls on this show. All the girls on this show, these are some thick, sturdy women on this show. Oh, yes, indeed. These are the kind of women you can leave outside in a windstorm. When you come back, they'll be right where you left there. They ain't going there swing, but they'll be right there. She's blue and tight like blue. Like, I was in St. Louis. I did three shows on Saturday night. Killer shows, right? So I finished up, and Sunday I'm at the airport getting ready to come back to L.A. So I'm standing in line, you know, about to go through the metal detector, all these people around, and two gorgeous girls were at my show Saturday night. They were in the line too, right? So they just come up to me and say, oh, my gosh, you were great last night. So, you know, everybody looking around kind of confused, right? And then the other girl say, yeah, my cheeks are still hurting. Now people think I'm a pimp or something. It's just wrong what's happening now. So I get through the metal detector. I'm putting my shoes and my belt back on. I see an older white couple. The guy gets up, go to the restroom. His wife comes over to me, hands me a card, and says, look, I don't know what you do, but I'm down. Holler at your girl. Holler. Hey, my name is John. Ron Ramey, Double D. Miss you, brother. Thank you.
All right, that was John Henson, who was on Arsenio Hall's show. Just wanted to play a clip. I thought he did a great job, but you can check it out. And by the way, the late-night comedian talk show host will be on Oprah's Next Chapter. I know people questioned whether Arsenio's show was going to do good, but his show had the highest rating premiere in 7 years. So he had the highest rating premiere week in 7 years. I'm still enjoying the show. So I thought I'd give you a couple of clips every now and then just to say, go out there, check it out for yourself. I'm glad to see people come back out like John Henson, who's traveling, by the way, the world in comedy clubs. So he's always traveling the circuit of comedy clubs. Go out there and check that out. And by the way, there's a two-hour documentary on the life of Jimi Hendrix. It's titled Jimi Hendrix, Hear My Train A-Comin'. Now, it will be broadcast on PBS on November 5th at 9 p.m. as a part of the American Masters series on the same day that the DVD version will also be released. Now, the DVD package will be accompanied with a CD with previously unreleased 1968 concert recordings by Jimi Hendrix Experience at the Miami Pop Festival of that year. That would be 68. Hear My Train Coming, a.k.a. Get My Heart Back Together Again. It's a blues song written by Hendrix and recorded between 67 and 70, but was not released until after he passed. So the release is part of a multi-year celebration of Hendrix's 70th birthday, which would have been last year. It would have been in 2012, but previous releases of Hendrix material, amongst other things, that stuff started trickling out last year, but it's still coming out. And this is not to say that Andre 2000's or Andre Benjamin's movie about Jimi Hendrix, that's also coming out. But this is a documentary, so if you want to check that out, that's going to be on PBS on November 5th, if you want to check that out. So I want to say hey to everyone. Say hey, Lavinia. She just wrote in the chat room. I guess she'll do a special show about affordable health care with some warning so that so we can advertise. But, hey, just wanted to put that out about affordable health care. If you want to check us out in the archives or check us out, guys, on iTunes, you can check us out at espriradio.solarsyracuse.com/BOBC. Or you want to send us an email, BOBC@solarsyracuse.com. You know, I'll answer some questions if you want to send some questions out. Or maybe we'll do that on the next show if people still have questions. But I still kind of think that it's media's responsibility to kind of shoot down all of that garbage that people are putting out there. That's just me. I'm just putting that out there for you. But anyway, okay, I just want to make sure I kind of welcome everyone on. I know Kaya's out there. When you guys are ready to join the program, just hit one on the line. And in the meantime, I'm actually going to do some more news and information because we have on this show, we want to talk about Questlove. He made a statement about folks using black people as accessories. So we're going to talk about that. And also, in the news, some guy said that he'll never, ever date a black woman, even if it's Halle Berry, which is kind of funny to me. We wanted to talk about that as well. And Vivica Fox actually put out in the news that she is now dating older men. So if you know anything about Vivica and her thing for younger guys, I guess it's on the record in, you know, the blogosphere. All right, so I just want to remind you, you listen to Black on Black Crimes on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. It's 909-265-9189, our main topic today. I'll tell you what we went through first. I already talked about the affordable health care facts. Just wanted to lay some out for you. Wanted to take the beginning part of the show and kind of lay it out. I know it's been big in the news where everybody wants to talk about affordable health care and what it means and all of this other stuff. But I have a whole lot more detailed information than what I gave you. But if you want to check that out in the archive or send us an email about it, hey, I'll let you in on what's going on with that. Steven Spielberg has cast Halle Berry to star in his upcoming CBS futuristic thriller, Extinct. The series will center around a female astronaut trying to reconnect with her family. You know, we have a lot of astronaut kind of movies, it seemed to me. After she returns home, after a year in space, is what their press release says. Her experience leads to events that ultimately change the course of human history. This is coming on CBS. They didn't have a release date for it right now, but they did announce that it will be hitting CBS. Steven Spielberg did say there is only one Halle Berry, and we are incredibly honored that she has chosen our show to expand her illustrious career, is what Steven Spielberg said. He said, as she does with everything she touches, she will bring a deep authenticity to her role, and I very much look forward to working with her. Halle Berry actually released a statement, and she said, I'm always on the lookout for amazing roles, and when you see material that contains strong nuances and complexities, it compels me to run toward it no matter what the medium. So for 5 months a year, I'll get to live with and play this incredibly intelligent and vulnerable woman, And for the remainder of the year, I'll continue to look for other roles that move me as deeply as this one. So apparently Holly is very happy about her television role, but, you know, it's a television show, so she'll be on TV every week. This is a Steven Spielberg movie. Now, there was a bunch of internet comments. Didn't want to go there because a lot of them were, you know, well, hopefully it's better than the last movie that she had kind of thing. But Holly Berry, since she just had a child, we will have no bad news for Holly Berry today. We won't let anybody critique or criticize Holly today on this program. So we won't read a lot of those comments. But one of the comments did say, I look forward to Holly in this role. I'll definitely check out the program. And so, you know, they were more positive than negative, but, you know, people. That's how it is. Now, Code Black Films, which is a Lionsgate company, has scheduled Frankie and Alice for an April 4th, 2012 release that Holly Berry is set to star in. And she's also set to reprise her role as Storm in the next X-Men movie. It's called X-Men Days of Future Past. Now, I haven't watched any X-Men, sorry to say. But she's reprising her role on the X-Men. So we'll have to check that out and look for her. But she will be coming to CBS very shortly. So just want to make sure I threw that in there for Holly Berry. Now, I want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on ESPN Radio. And you can call in 909-265-9189 to join us. I know that's a little loud, but we'll be out in a second. And we're going to take a break and come back. Just remember, 909-265-9189. You can check us out in the chat room, or you can send us an email at bobc.soulofsyracuse.com to get your comments. We do read them. I know there was quite a few in there last time, but we have checked out the comments and welcome them. So thanks a lot for everybody who's been joining us over our year in business, and we'll be back after this break.
You know, there are a lot of choices out there for late night talk shows, but here's the reason you're going to watch mine.
It is off the chain.
And that's a guy dressed as a scientist. You can go now. I got this.
The Arsenio Hall Show.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 888-927-2498. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now, 888-927-2498. That's 888-927-2498.
When we created the Acura RLX, we decided to take the other road. We believe luxury isn't about bling or flash. Courage invites critics.
Go ahead.
Future innovations are born from conversations. And sometimes the road that's less traveled is the one that surprises you. Introducing the Acura RLX.
What's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity?
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, dear Claire Kristen, she can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You know, you can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Hey, if you're on the line, you can hit 1. And as soon as I said that, I did see you pop up. Just want to bring my girl in, Lavinia. How you doing? From the Nerdy Black Chicks Show, Wednesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. How you doing, girl?
I'm all right. How you doing, Jerome?
I'm good. You know, all right. You sound like you had to take a deep breath before you came in. You all right?
I had to get them kids. They were trying to filibuster the whole nap thing. Like, they just want to go to bedtime. They just want to talk their way out of going to bed. I'm like, yo, you got school. You getting to bed. You getting up out of my face. I love you. Good night.
You said they filibustered, so they just stood there talking. They were just really reading from the dictionary.
My 6-year-old daughter can talk about anything. It don't matter what it is. She can just talk. She's a girl.
Oh, cool. Hey, she's filibustering. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
She made
making
it work.
Jokes and stuff. I'm like, it's not even funny joke.
She asked you anything about the healthcare law? Because, you know, she would have just kept going. She's like, so tell me about
that. Oh, she wouldn't listen for an answer. It's not a conversation. It's a filibuster. She talks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. She's filibustering. My bad. All right, now, so Questlove, who is in the group The Roots, he was asked questions by the Associated Press. So, you know, that goes to all the newspapers, AP feeds, right? And so he was interviewed with Associated Press, and they asked him how he felt about Miley's collaboration with rappers, and he responded, "The idea of Miley using us as accessories, I don't know." He said, "I kind of felt the same sort of way when Gwen Stefani went through her Asian phase as accessories, and at the end of the day, it's like, is that objectifying us?" Now, he said, hip-hop is already a one-dimensional view as far as us looking like caricatures. And he said, yeah, I'm all for collaborating. My life is based on collaborations, but I'm more concerned about what it is based in, and is it genuine interest or is it curiosity about the culture? He says, I don't want her just to take that we're good for twerking and having big butt stuff. Like he really, I think he was holding back right at the end of that. But Questlove is really kind of not feeling that. And I happen to agree with Questlove on this one. So I ask you, what do you think about his comments about speaking as being used as accessories? Because I think that's something kind of big in the entertainment industry anyway, that people like to use this kind of as accessories, you know.
Oh, he's on point.
That's
the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that whole Miley and Robin Thicke performance on the VMAs. Like, you had these,
oh, right.
Between exploiting black people, teddy bears, and little people. That's what she had going on.
Oh, yeah, it was a circus.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And, you know, and then she's out there smacking somebody's butt and sticking her face in it. And I'm like, what is she doing? Like, this is not, I mean, I understand that she's trying to come into her own as an adult and get away from the Hannah Montana thing. But don't start using black people as ornaments because you figure that's what's going to get you in the door and everybody's going to think you're hot, right?
Yeah.
The same thing with Robin Thicke. Like, he had this other video that came out. And he's on some bleachers, and you got a black marching band, and you've got these dancers. I don't know if they were actual dancers from a college or not, but they're just all twerking around him, and he's just sitting there singing and whatever, and he's got all these black women just twerking around him. And I'm like, you know what? You need to stop. And if Paula Patton had any damn sense, stop smoking whatever she's smoking for a minute, then maybe she would try to have a sit-down with the man, but she's just as simple, so you can't expect too much from her either.
I was going to lead to that, to say that that was definitely not a black on black crime, because as Daniel said, who Daniel is missing for the day, but Daniel said to me, "What is up with Paula Patton?" You know, like I said, yeah, she's a little bit off the rails, so we can't ask her to ring him in. I think somebody needs to ring her in. You know, and the whole twerking.
She's getting high.
She was. Yeah, he asked about her at the award ceremony, and I said, yeah, she was obviously drunk. It was baggage claim. She was drunk on stage.
Yeah, it was the baggage claim.
Right. And so she ended up going on, I guess, the show, whatever show with Al Roker, and then she started dancing for him.
Back that up. Al Roker.
Al Roker asked her about twerking and the Miley Cyrus thing, and she said, I'll do that. And so Al Roker stand up, and she pretty much gave him a lap dance.
No, she didn't.
You can check that out online. Yes, she did. Then she goes on Arsenio, and essentially does the same thing. Arsenio stands up, and, you know, Arsenio don't care. You know, so when he asks about it, she goes, well, I don't really know how to twerk that well, but, you know, I do a little shimmy kind of. And so Arsenio stood up, they played some music, and she is off the rails. So
somebody need to do an intervention. I'll just stop talking about her. That's just on my nerves. But, yeah, what Questlove said was on point. Although I did read something where, you know, Miley was saying that, you know, she knows that she's been accused of using black people as accessories in her show. And she's like, you know, it's not even like that because, you know, we're really friends. And shut up. No, you're not. These people aren't your friends. You aren't their friends. You sober up and you go on your little MTV documentary all by yourself, and I don't see anybody, like, y'all ain't hanging out and telling each other your deepest secrets. Y'all aren't friends. This is a business arrangement, and you said just as much. So just call it what it is and keep it real. As far as Justin Timberlake, I don't think that he uses black people as accessories so much, and I'll tell you why. Because you look at his videos, you don't see no black people. You'll see maybe one dancer. As far as his music and as far as him hanging out with Jay-Z, but Jay-Z's nobody's accessory, you know? So I think,
you know,
certain celebrities are using him every bit as much as he uses them as far as other celebrities go. But you look at his videos, we ain't in them.
I actually agree with that. Okay, so I would have to say that a little bit differently because, and it's the reason why I didn't use Justin Bieber, for example. Because in his case, you know, Usher signed him. So he is kind of around Usher, right? Whereas Justin Timberlake is around Timberland. He's producing all of that music. So I'm saying he might be influenced by it more than he's using them as accessories. I think it's kind of the other way around. It's kind of how they are kind of being a little bit more pop. And sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. So, okay, I can give them a slight pass, although I'm still going to knock Justin Timberlake out for that whole Janet Jackson thing, but that's a whole nother story. Like, everybody wants to give him a pass for that, and he don't get one. So, and I'm just saying that because he would do interviews, and they asked him about the Janet Jackson thing. He had nothing to do with it.
He was like, and then look, he's like, it was a wardrobe. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it was planned. So I just did what I was supposed to do, and then he tried to.
Supposedly dating. I'm gonna have to double check that.
I thought
that they had some sort of fling. If they weren't dating, they had some sort of fling.
For some reason, I do remember them going out for some reason. I don't know why I remember that, but I think during that time, she was dating Jermaine Dupri. Because I was like, Jermaine should knock him out.
I thought she hooked up with him shortly after. Yeah, I thought she hooked up with him shortly after. But I tell you what, though, it's like after that whole thing with Janet and the Super Bowl, Justin Timberlake kind of not like disappeared, but he not fade to black. He faded from black. Like he wasn't hanging out with nobody for a while. You just see some white people doing, you know, doing his movies, and then he started kind of coming back and doing more soulful, you know, music, and then you started seeing him teaming up with Timberlake more often, and now he's hanging out with Jay-Z. But, yeah, after that whole Janet thing, I think he tried to separate himself for a while.
Forgot all about that. Now, do you think Quest – now, this is not an Asian show, but I think Quest did throw Gwen Stefani out there, though, when he said that she went through her Asian
phase.
She
did it, too.
But
she did.
It was
she
fun for her.
She had these videos, and then they were the dancers in, like, all her videos. And then she did...
Oh, that's right.
She did an HP commercial for Hewlett-Packard, HP Pavilion, I think. And even then, she was hanging out in Japan. Like, child boo.
apparently, somebody wasn't quite impressed with your gesture. I tried to help her. I really did. I tried. Lord knows I tried.
Do you see her around him now, though?
I mean, she's.
I guess she went through a phase where she was younger, too. So, of course, you know, why not? Let's try people out. Let's try on some people and see how they work. Went through my other people phase for a couple years.
Okay, well, I just had to throw that out now. Just wanted to remind everyone, you listen to Black on Black Crime. That wasn't one, per se. It was just Questlove asking a question. He was saying, there are folks here using black folks as accessories, and so he just threw out Gwen Stefani.
Okay, well,
he was right.
How about we flip it, though? How about we flip it? And not just that she's using them as accessories, but you got folks who are okay with being used as accessories. It's just another check for them.
Okay. Oh, we can name people for that one, though. We would be committing black-on-black crimes if we just...
No, I ain't trying to name people. I'm just saying the flip side of what he said.
I'm saying you can name people is what my problem is. I'm like, you can name a lot of people who are... I'm going to name one. It's just because she committed so many black-on-black... Nope, I'm going to do it. I feel it coming. Stacey Dash. And I like her. I used to like her. So, yeah, just saying. All I'm saying is the commissioner is on the board, so I didn't get she didn't hit one, so I don't think the flag's there. I'm gonna take a zero on the flag, and but if she pops up, I'll have to consider that. But Stacey, oh, dang it, I spoke too soon. Now, let me act like I didn't know. Welcome to Black on Black Crime.
Busted.
I tried. Oh,
I tried to tell him
not
to. I told him don't do it, Kathleen. I said don't do it. I was just wrinkling my brow, like, no!
With all my strength, like, the video was like, no! It was slow motion, too. I actually felt the slow motion. Okay, but we're just talking about using people as accessories, and so I'm saying, yes, some people do use black folks as accessories, and it happens. And there are some people who don't use black people as accessories, and they use other people. And that's all I'm saying. Maybe I didn't have to name her. So I'll accept the flag. I'll back away. That's nice of the commissioner, isn't it? She's like, maybe not. I heard the sarcasm in that. Okay, fine.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying. I'm saying you're wrong. Here is... a story that was in the news. You don't want to comment on that, do you, Kathleen?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You know, since I put this ad up in our graphics, I want to, you know, since Kai and Lavinia kind of a couple weeks ago had their Angela Bassett moment, I wanted to make sure I mention on October 9th this week at 10 p.m., This is the season 3 premiere of American Horror Stories, The Coven, Voodoo in New Orleans, of course, starring Angela Bassett. Now, the story of voodoo is set in New Orleans, can trace its origins back to the slavery era. It coalesces like an assortment of beliefs and practices bought over from different parts of Western Africa. Angela Bassett is in The Coven. She plays Marie Laveau, a practitioner of voodoo who lived in 1800. She was called a voodoo queen of New Orleans. She also was a pretty big person in the Catholic Church, too. She actually worked close with the diocese in New Orleans, just in case you didn't know that. She is indeed credited with being a unifying force to help voodoo penetrate New Orleans culture. And producers of the series have said that The Coven will explore themes of race and oppression and family. So we'll have to check out The Coven. And Gaboray Sudabe is also on the cast. So I think I'm not sure if she's in the one with Angela Bassett, but, you know, that Coven the American Horror Stories, they do different stories. So I don't know which one she's in particular, but she's joining the cast with a bunch of other folks, Kathy Bates, Jessica Lange, a bunch of other folks. So we'll have to check that out. Just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Again, that wasn't a shot at you, Kai. Just wanted to put that out there. It's on FX Movies if you want to go check that out. It starts 10 o'clock on October 9th. So we're only talking Wednesday is when it starts. So you can check that out. Now, you can check out more of Black on Black Crime on SB Radio. All right, so here's a story in the news where this photographer, he's white, from Austin, Larry Busby, he published a long list of criteria for the type of women that he wanted to date, and he offered $1,500 to meet her. Now, I made a joke about this on the news show by saying a lot of people can start up a good business matchmaking. I think people go to jail for that these days. But anyway, online he created a website. He also stipulated that it's a $1,000 bonus would go to the person whose introduction led to marriage. He insisted that any match be fit, weigh no more than 130 pounds, and he preferred red hair, although any color was tolerable. But he prefers that women wear dresses, has not slept with too many men, and by the way, he don't want them to be black. Now, I know this is not a black on black crime because he's not black, but that was a part of stipulation. He said, under no circumstances whatsoever would I ever consider dating a black woman, even if she looks like Halle Berry. He said he'll date any other race, Hispanic, Mexican, Spanish. That seemed like the same category. But anyway, Russian, Italian, French, European, white, whatever, anything except black. He said it's not racist.
And you feel like that's not a black-on-black crime?
Well, he's not black, so he ain't really commit one. So
no,
that might be a black-on-black.
It's so bad. It's so egregious that we can just give him an exception. We get passes all the time.
Give him an honorary? You think he should go to our new honorary black?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and he seems to dislike it so much that we're gonna make him black for right now. Well, that's just a black on black crime. Because first of all, he didn't call out there's no other woman alive on earth that he didn't call out. He only called out black women.
Yeah, because there are black Spanish people. There are black people who speak Russian. There are black Italian people. There are black people in France. But he named all of those countries, but he's excluding the black people even in those countries as well.
In those countries. Right. He's so bad that he's probably excluding white folks that live in Africa. Wow.
He said, I think it's okay for whites and Hispanics, but not blacks. I would never, ever, ever. He actually watched Chris Tucker never, ever date a woman if he found out that she has ever been intimate with a black man either. Like, he really has black people problems.
He's scared. But, I mean, really, like, I've seen this on Facebook, and there were black women who were really they were offended by this. And I'm like, have you seen Mr. Ed's cousin? Like,
yeah,
this is a bullet that we dug, like, thank God. We ain't got to turn you down for no drinks. We ain't got to say no to you on a dance floor. We don't have to make an excuse for why we don't want to talk to you. That is good. You carry your ugly self on about your business on that side of the street, and we're good over here. Like, why? I don't understand why people are getting mad about this. If that's what he wants, and that's if he has a problem with black people to that point, then at least he's being honest about it. I mean, quite honestly, that'd be like for us to get upset because somebody from the KKK said they didn't want to date black women. Like, why would we get mad? Because that's what you don't want to do.
I had a bunch of the internet comments from this, but I just did not use them because who cares? I mean, I think I wouldn't care. I'm just asking a question, but I'm thinking, who would really cares that he's saying that he does not want to date a black woman? But I think he was just pretty much so insulting, like, you know, while he was talking about it. And he took it down, by the way. He took that full list down from his website, but he was trying to clarify who he wanted by clarifying who he didn't want. Now, I can tell you this. This is just me, and I know I'm about to get a flag on this, so Kathleen, just hold off for a second. But he insisted that she weighed no more than 130 pounds. And I'm saying,
he wasn't getting the sister anyway. That alone kind of ruined most of his
house. I'm not trying to get a flag or nothing, seriously. But who is going to starve themselves just to go out with him? Who is past the eighth grade? You know, I'm just saying like that.
In his thing. You know what?
That seems a bit extreme.
In his thing. I just found it kind of funny that somebody that was, I mean, you look at him, you're like, you got the nerve to be so picky? Really?
See, I didn't really kind of gauge him from that point, but I just pretty much thought it was one of those things that I saw, and I saw a lot of black folks commenting on, so I said, hey, you know what, we probably need to talk about this old black crime, because it just seemed kind of wishy-washy to me that he would be so graphic about not liking black folks, and then it's a news story, right? So we don't like to talk about race in this country, but they let him go out there, you know, because he wanted to buy him a woman. Again, I'd go to jail for that. I've seen Chris Hansen make a living off that for a minute. People call doing online stuff like this. But anyway, it's just me. And he went and did that. And now that he has the press, now he's using that to bash black people. You're right, Kathleen. I'm going to go with you. This is an honor. He's getting honorary for this one.
He looked like Mr. Ed. And the only thing that for Mr. Ed would be Black Beauty. But he don't want nothing black. So I don't know what he's going to do.
And since we didn't tackle this one, I'm not sure you heard, Kathleen, the story about Vivica Fox and her saying that she wants to date older men. Did you hear that one? And she must have us on mute. You haven't heard it?
Mm-mm. I'm not surprised, but go ahead.
Okay, well, Vivica came out and made some statements while on a television show. She said, I used to be so lustful. I would lose my mind over a six-pack and a smile. It would get me every time and usually get me in trouble. She said, pretty eyes, pretty teeth, forget about that. But I think now I'm looking for a good partner, just a good man, whereas before it would be mostly physical. This is Vivica Fox speaking, by the way. She said, now I need a man who is a gentleman, more old-fashioned, someone who I can laugh with and have fun with. I'm trying to date above 30 now. 30 to 35 is the window. Not saying I won't make an exception if someone special comes along, although she is 49 and she'll be 50 this year. I thought it was interesting, but that would be Vivica Fox. I have no comments about that. There's no black-on-black crime there. She made those statements, and I thought that was hilarious.
When you said older man, I don't
care. She's 49.
Her.
No, she didn't say older than her. No, she said older than
okay,
what she normally dates.
Whole world just now. Okay. So she's looking, she wants an older man. She wants somewhere between 30 and 35.
Yes. She said that she said between 30 and 35. She didn't say over that. She said she wants to date somebody who is older. And I guess she was dating people in her 20s. Now, she turns 50 this year. She didn't have her birthday yet. So this might be a gender crime, because I'm telling you, if that was a guy who said that and he was 50 and he was like, I think I'm going to start dating women in their 30s, I think that might be a problem.
No. Al Sharpton got some young things.
Who?
Al Sharpton.
Oh, that's a store flag, Kamish. You ain't here. She
wait
called,
a second. No, because you
she called out
that
somebody
a
else.
Man did it. You, whoa, wait a second. We were
I said a man.
Subject.
You had to start naming him.
A man did it. Okay.
I said a man, but you had to throw him up under the bus. He's a lot older than 50. Now, if you remember the news story I did with the guy who was 83 who just got married to the woman who was 42, then, but he's a billionaire. But I ain't mad at him. I'm just saying that's his thing. He could do that. Now, he's in his 80s. That would be a little bit different. But we're talking about her saying, you know, she's turning 50, and she's finally saying that she wants to date people who are not in their 20s anymore.
Okay.
Okay, nothing? You got nothing? Am I getting crickets on that?
You just want to get crickets.
She's another what?
She needs an intervention. She needs to sit down on the couch, her and Paula Patton. Both of y'all need to sit on the couch. And we're going to have our girl Kai sit down and talk to y'all.
Uh-huh.
And help you with your issues.
Hey. She definitely needs an intervention on that one. So I just wanted to say, even with the other guy having a preference, she did have a preference of younger kids. And I shouldn't say younger kids. Did I just say that? Is that a crime?
Yes, it is. No, it is what it is.
So I just wanted to make sure I did that. So just want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Since we're going at the top of the hour, I guess I might as well give you some more news, right? Now, the season premiere of Scandal apparently was a hit. It drew the largest number of viewers in its history, 10.5 million tuned in. It had a 3.6 rating. Don't know what that means. It gave the ABC drama the highest total viewers from the adult 18 to 49 range. Scandal premiere delivered 712,877 tweets, which is the show's highest social delivery to date. It's the most tweets they've ever had during that season. I guess they stood at number one of most social series on Thursday night. So just wanted to make sure I said that. I don't know why, because I don't watch Scandal. But apparently Scandal is kind of doing a little bit of damage out there. I'm laughing at doing Scandal because I know Daniel and those guys are going to kill me for doing that. I think we bashed Scandal at some program. We didn't bash it. We were just pretty much in a black-on-black crime sense discussing Scandal. Hopefully I got out of that. I'm looking at Lavinia in the chat room said she's a gladiator and don't hate. I don't know what that means. That must be a Scandal reference, but okay, fine. I'm not hating on Scandal. We'll just I'll just say it did well. Oh, by the way, I know I did this on the other show, but Queen Latifah's show, morning talk show, I DVR the shows, so I don't know when they come on syndicated, but I think she's on CBS. Her show is also doing pretty well, but I haven't seen it. So if you've seen that show, let us know how Queen Latifah's show is for you. I did get a chance to check it out, but haven't put a lot of time in it. I know Kathleen probably has us on mute, but she's working while she's hanging out at the moment. So we'll have to kind of let that roll. Now, I just wanted to say this in the news, by the way. September 9th was Sonia Sanchez. She turned 79 years old this year, and she has a Kickstarter program, which people are always having problems with, but it's for a campaign called Bad with 5Ds, Sonia Sanchez, and it's an upcoming documentary about her life story that you're trying to make a film about. Now, it's the title of her second poetry book, and Sonia Sanchez, she's going to be in it. If you don't know who she is, she's a writer, groundbreaking artist, and she was pretty heavy doing political movement, so she is very influential if you don't know who she is, and she's working on this particular project, starring her, Ruby Dee, Nikki Giovanni, Ursula Rucker, Ayanna Matthews, John Bracey Jr., Hakeem Mahubu, I think is his name. But the film is 91% funded, $50,578, but they need $60,000 and have a couple of days left in it. So I just want to make sure I shout that out. Have you read a lot of Sonia Sanchez's works?
She was one of the authors and poets we had focused on in one of my AFM classes at University of Maryland. Shout out to Professor Lynch. He was a good professor. He was always talking about Sonia Sanchez. We read Wounded in the House of a Friend. And he wasn't talking about her. He was talking about John Coltrane.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He's a big John Coltrane guy?
Oh, everything was John Coltrane. John Coltrane, Sonia Sanchez, and B.B. Moore King. It was a pretty good class. I mean, you know what? Honestly, I really wish that you wouldn't have to wait to get to college to take a class like that. Like, if I can take home economics in high school, I should be able to take a good African-American studies class in high school. But that's just my opinion. Or at least, like, some sort of... what?
I'm with you.
Cultural
I
class. Like, I mean, if you can take all these other things as electives, like piano, like, what am I going to do with piano if I'm only learning those four notes anyway? Give me some real options of something that I could really do something with. You don't have to wait until you spend $20,000 a year to take a good class.
Okay, I want to tell you, I took piano in college. I'm not offended, I'm just saying. I did take that for one of my electives. I did take piano. You know, and the funny thing about it is that for years I would go to my friend's kids' recitals and all of that other stuff, and one of my friends said, "We didn't know you played piano." And I said, "Okay." Like, I just didn't. I never felt compelled to show off any piano skills. But, yeah, I think that they should have, and I was actually going to start a curriculum of African-American studies, because since the schools complain that they don't have the resource and teachers, I thought about introducing that into the school district that's closest to me, and you know, whatever the suburban Catholic schools, or if they wanted it, because we, as a private organization, we can go in and do that. But I thought about that and saying, we probably need to have a curriculum that people get to study works of African Americans and not have to wait till college. That just seems like that.
And by the time they get to college, it's, you know, if it's not part of your major, more than likely, you're not going to take it. I mean, I'm not as far as black people, but I'm talking about other people, non-black people. Now, you think everybody should be exposed to understanding the history and, you know, the culture. Not just wait until you get to college. By that time, you've already had your mind made up about things. You've already been programmed to think the wrong things because you only get a drop of African-American history coming up in grammar school. So by the time you get to college, it's like... whatever, I know about the Underground Railroad. I don't need to know anything else. They're not going to spend their money on it.
There you go. I know. I totally agree with you. And, you know, I just want to remind everyone, you listen to Black on Black Crime. Commish dropped, so Kathleen is not with us. I did not put her on mute just because she disagreed with me. Did not put her on mute. And but I want to. Just because I got a flag. She what?
So then she gave you two flags.
She gave me a couple flags, and then she bounced.
Yeah. She got mad and muted her on her own network. Kind of mess is that?
Hey, all I'm saying is all fair. I'm on board. I'm just saying, just can't throw shots at the brother. So I want to say this. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show when I spoke about the sisters of the woman who was fatally shot in Washington. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that story? Okay. Now, the two sisters of Miriam Carey, who they went on the Today Show, they went on Good Morning America, they have been traveling the circuit, and I'm glad that they're doing this because the sisters of that high-speed car chase in Washington, D.C., they said, one of them said, my sister was fleeing. She was trying to figure out how to get out of there, and they confirmed, saying, yeah, she was treated for postpartum depression, but she was under a doctor's supervision, and they were in the process of taking her off of it. So beyond that, her mental capacity was fine, according to her sisters, and despite what authorities have said, their sister didn't have a political agenda with the White House or anyone else. She never talked badly about President Obama, and she was not walking around delusional, which is what we want the public to understand. She was not delusional, is what Valerie Carey said. She's a retired New York City police officer. She was saying that about her sister. And when Matt Lauer came out and said, well, you know, what about the 19-month-old? One of her sisters corrected her and said, the baby is not 19 months. And he says, how old is she? She said 13 months. The baby was a year old. So I don't know if you remember me talking about this before, and I told you this is going to get ugly when the truth comes out about it. But I suspect that the Capitol Police, now the Secret Service fired at her early, but when she wasn't a threat and they took the 13-month-old out of the car and they still shot her, they just started making up stories. And the family said that the police have still not notified her. They're still trying to get their story straight. But I wanted to know if you saw, like, any of what the sister said.
You know, when all you could do was go on what the news was saying, and we'll be talking about this Wednesday night on the Nerdy Black Chicks Talk Radio show, me and Bougetto Rising, because at the time we were on totally different, you know, we were totally different opinions as far as how we approach it. If you go purely on what was reported, my thinking was, well, if you have somebody that's got erratic behavior and it's somewhere around the White House, I'm thinking that as far as the reaction is probably going to be a little bit more extreme than, say, what would happen out on the street somewhere else. They probably take, you know, more precautions. They try to do, you know, there would be other options as far as neutralizing. And then I also said that, you know, at the time, you know how it goes, those things keep coming out. So now, quite honestly, I don't know what to think. You know, until the Secret Service and the D.C. police or whoever was involved come out with a full report and not keep, you know, not just release little things here and there that might be coming up. And because I just found it odd that they were able to tell you shortly after she was shot that she had been in a mental institution, was rambling about Obama, talking to her through the TV. Like, how were you able to get that information so quickly after shooting her? And now we're finding out that the family wasn't even notified, you know, probably by that point. By the time we were getting this information.
Oh, no, they said they haven't been contacted yet. They're on TV saying that they have still not been contacted about their sister. They got the little girl back, but the police never contacted them since that happened.
See, and that right there, that makes absolutely no sense to me other than, like you said, they're trying to get some sort of story together
straight.
Or they're trying to put spin on things. I don't know. It's like I'm having a hard time with it because, you know, you don't know who you're dealing with or what people are going through or what their mental state really is. I mean, especially lately, it seems like everybody's popping off going crazy. Somebody just set themselves on fire. So, like, when they say that somebody's acting erratic, like, well, I don't know. You know, you had a shooting at the Navy Yard not too long before that, and he had all kinds of stuff going on, supposedly. And then shortly after she did that, there was a guy that set himself on fire, and we're still trying to figure out what that was about.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I know.
We'll find out
case.
More tomorrow, I'm sure.
Right. The whole thing about this case for me, though, is I know it's not that quick to get out information. And doing politics, I know you're spinning. And so what they did is they put out all this bad information because the news has to make up something to keep you interested in the story. And by the time it was going to come out, I kept saying, and I know I've done this on quite a few programs, that it amazes me. It truly amazes me when everyone jumps the gun when the media puts something out and then they find out, oh, wait a minute, it's not true, and they never retract it. It's why everybody thinks O.J. killed that woman, right? It's because you never retract all of the bad information that you put out because you were trying to paint a picture and a narrative, and now you got all of these people thinking this one thing about this woman, and if they let it sit there for another 2 weeks, then everyone's going to say in their mind, oh, yeah, she did it. She shouldn't have been near the White House. But they don't know that she was over a block away from the White House, and even the gate that she was at, she never breached the gate. And if you look at the pictures of the car, the very front of the car don't even have any damage. So she ain't tried to ram the gate. So even if you look at the pictures, you say, wait a minute, she rammed the gate with no damage to her car? The damage on the car is kind of from the side, but I'm sure that's when they tried to bump her off the road. It just seemed to me a little bit strange that that story is starting to spin out of control, and we have to do a better job. Seriously, we have to get smart, especially as black folks, seeing through news coverage, because that's going to turn ugly. That's just my whole thought about it to begin with. So I know when you talk about it, this is going to be Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, on a late night talk with Nerdy Black Chicks. Oh, I'm sure we're going to, B and I are probably going to have to. Can I bring a commissioner to throw her a flag? Because I know we're probably going to. I know we're not going to jail on this one. But again,
yeah, y'all might battle it out over this one.
We may have to battle. But her sister, who again, a former police officer, she said, I want to know what protocol was. I want to know what was your protocol, because she said you have to have protocol to discharge your weapon. So when you took the baby out of the back of the car, who made the call to fire your guns? And that is where the lawsuit is going to come in, and that's probably why Capitol Police is not talking.
And now, you know, and I kind of wonder if, you know, somebody figured that they were going to discharge the weapon because she was acting erratic. Well, somebody reaches into the back of your car and snatches your baby out, I'd lose my mind.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
I wouldn't be
exactly.
crazy, but that would be my instant reaction. You see somebody come, I mean, I don't care if they're law enforcement or not, you go reaching for my child, you're going to get some sort of reaction out of me.
And at the same time, it was a coupe. So they would have to move, they would have to open the door and move her seat back to get the baby. So she had to let the baby go. Like I said, it wasn't like the windows were down and they reached in and stole a baby. Like she actually probably let them have the baby. They probably said, well, let the baby out of the car, and she just didn't want to get out because she might have been terrified. And so what's going on is that they're going to have to play public opinion, the court of public opinion, but some of the witnesses on the scene did say they took the baby out of the car first before she was shot. So I'm sure the car wasn't running either, because where the car is parked from the pictures, that she couldn't go forward or backwards. They had her blocked in, so she wasn't going anywhere anyway. So for shooting her, again, I think that this is going to – I just thought it was interesting to talk about, and I wanted to clear that up, because the family, who I think is doing a good job of going out and speaking on behalf of their sister because of the picture that was painted of her.
Mm-hmm.
So. That was a good job.
Yeah, we'll see what's released tomorrow. There'll be something else, I'm sure. Whether it's true or not, it'll be something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, whether it's true or not is a whole other story. Now, at the beginning of the program, also told us there's a news story. This is in court. A federal judge slammed the House Oversight Committee for claiming that the government shutdown should not impact their lawsuit seeking to force Attorney General to hand over information about Fast and Furious. So they went to the court. This is the House Oversight. The Republicans went to a federal judge and said, just because it's a government shutdown, they need to go back to work to give us our information so we can sue the Justice Department. The judge
because
yelled at
them. That's what's important right now.
Well, the judge slammed them for even making a request. You're going to shut down government and then tell us the government should be open because we want to do something that we shouldn't be doing? You know, Fast and Furious was under Bush, but they just want Eric Holder. He wasn't even there, but they want him to produce some documents, so they want court to be open so that they can do that, but they shut down government.
You know, I'm so sick of these clowns. Like, I just got a headache from even listening to it anymore. No, but you know what? Like, John Boehner always getting up there talking about, well, the president needs to sit down with us, and look, there ain't no time to talk no more. That's my whole thing. It's like, just pass the clean CR so y'all can get things back together. You want to sit down and have a powwow, that's more time. And
right.
There's no guarantee that you're going to get much accomplished anyway. And this is just ridiculous. And I'm so sick of people who are so quick to want to blame the president for the situation or blame both sides for the situation when only one of them were the ones that decided they wanted to bring this crap to the table in the first place. Like, who started this? Who's the aggressor in the situation? They're the ones that need to be shut down so we can move on.
Oh, you know my thought in that situation. I mean, I think I said this a long time ago, that it's almost like when people say things like, we have a zero tolerance, and then somebody comes and slap you and you both get suspended, you have a right to defend yourself. So technically, just because you're in a fight that and you didn't start it, it is not your fault. You do not have to take the blame for someone else doing something to you. So the Republicans need to own it because they caused the problem, so just own it. They're not going to do it. So, you know, we have to kind of give them.
No.
Go ahead.
Wait a second. Now that I got you on the phone, we're on the subject, right? And this is a little not a BOBC thing at all, but you and all subjects, I'm going with you. this thing that I heard about the discharge petition that the Democrats are going to try to use as a loophole to try to force the clean CR to the floor of the House for a vote. Do you think that this is something that they're really going to be able to pull off?
Yes. I think when all else fails, if you pull a discharge petition, what it's going to do is going to override any objection to bring it to the floor, but you have to have a certain amount of people for a discharge, and you don't even need a majority. You need about 200 and it's a little over 200, but they've done it without having a majority. So you can have a discharge petition to get something to be voted on the floor of the House. And so they may have to just override it but they have to get some Republicans to agree to sign the discharge petition. And all that would do is bring it to the floor, and then they will get to vote on all of that stuff.
So in layman's terms, basically it would be like a big pimp slap to Boehner. Snatch the mallet out of his hand, the gavel out of his hand, and push it to the floor, like knock him down, get out my way, and put it out there for them to vote. I would love to see that.
Yeah, that's right, and they've done it before. This is not that, like, discharge positions have not been done before. And like I said, they don't need the majority of people. You need 218 to pass this to pass a law in the House, but you need closer to 200 people for a discharge position, and there's 200 on the Democratic side. They can easily get a discharge position done. Somebody has to sponsor it and all of that good stuff, but you need to do it in a certain committee kind of way. It's almost like...
When's the soonest we could see this?
Say it again?
I said, when's the soonest that we could see that happen? Like, how long does that typically take?
I don't know. I think it's just the process that they have to go through by calling a committee meeting to establish the petition, and then they have to write it up, and then, you know, so I think it takes probably a couple of days, but they actually, I think, started the process for doing it. Because I think they needed to have, I think the sponsors have to be a certain percentage. I don't know how they do that, maybe a certain percentage of committee members, a certain percentage of people in senior positions, but they can start a discharge petition, and if they get the right members signing the petition, they can force it onto the floor.
That would be
nice. Force it on the floor. All right. Just want to remind everyone, you listen to Black on Black Crime. I want to play a quick Black or White with you. How do you feel about that? Are you good with
something
it?
Something to lighten it up. Yeah, let's lighten it up.
Right. We're going to lighten it up and play a quick game of Black or White. So if you haven't heard the show before, this is where we go to some of the news stories that is going to talk about. Lavinia is going to make the decision if this story involves somebody Black or White. Now, the commissioner is going to kill both of us and throw a flag because she's not here, but she dropped off the line.
That ain't my fault.
That is not my fault either. Now, a 33-year-old man robbed a gas station and just moments earlier filled out an application for a job at a gas station. Was that fool Black or White?
Man, I hope he wasn't Black. Oh, man.
Okay.
Just because I hope he's not Black, he probably will be. I'm going to say he was Black just because I hope he's not.
And I'll be happy to report you did get that wrong. He was not Black.
Oh, thank God.
Foo was caught on camera, the closed the CC cameras in the gas station. He filled out an application just before he robbed. Went outside and put a mask on. All right. Now, here's another Florida story. Now, a Florida robbery suspect gave police an easy ride after discussing his, I'm trying to put this in a light way, he was discussing his innocence on a Facebook page that was looking for him, named Fugitive of the Day. And he actually went on there and said that I am not guilty. That fool got caught. He commented on a Facebook page that he was being wanted on. Is that kid black or white?
Oh, okay. I was wrong the last time. All right. Facebook, how was it? The young kid, I'm going to say he was white.
Okay, I'll tell you. He is, I think he's around 26, if that helps.
No, it didn't. I'm going to say white. I said black last time. We're going to go for the white guy this time. We're going to hope.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to be right either way.
Okay. I know you just don't want to be right.
I don't want people to be stupid.
Yeah, this kid was stupid, but he was white. That was no black. On Facebook, if you're going to, I wouldn't even look on I don't look on police wanted stuff anyway, but that's just me. I was sure if you're doing crime, you should be checking to see if you're fugitive of the day, but that's
no. This might be a black on black crime, but I'm thinking that if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it on some like bootleg album or some sort of demo, some sort of song.
There you go.
Or something.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first
somebody bootlegging
time that you admit to a murder in a song.
Oh no! Now here's one more. The mother of a convicted armed robber has been arrested for helping him orchestrate her son's audacious daylight jailbreak. Was the mother black or white? She went to jail during the day to help break her kid out of jail.
Oh, during the day? Oh, man, I was about to say she got him out. Okay, I don't know. That sounds like some straight up. Oh, I'm going to say black.
You are wrong.
I'm so glad I'm wrong.
You're lucky the commission's not here to throw a flag on you for this one. That is just wrong. Good Lord.
Hey, so this is how I'm kind of boxed into a corner, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be right.
To be right.
When I say that they're black, be like, right, yeah, they were black. No, I don't want them to be black. But then again, I don't want to keep saying that everybody that's doing stupid stuff is white. So y'all kind of like,
this
is
black on black crime
today.
Well, we don't know what happened to any of them, so. You know, I have to
say.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to bounce back and forth. You know how you do multiple choices, didn't study. You just be like A, B, throwing a couple C's.
That's true. But I have to say that if somebody is, your child is a convicted armed robber, but you're going to, you know, I'm not going to say this, but if your child actually committed the crime, black folks don't try to break you out of jail. Now, they'll break an innocent kid out, maybe, but I'm sure if it's black mother, she's been like,
we ain't even trying to get
baby.
The bail bondsman. We ain't even putting the house up for bail bondsman just to keep you out for a little bit.
Exactly, but I don't know about breaking the bond.
It's
like you did it, right?
At least I know where he's at if he's in there. He ain't getting into more trouble.
Oh, you are wrong for that. Right. Thanks for listening to Black on Black Crime. Chilling with Lavinia. The commissioner had to drop out for a minute, but we will be back next week on Monday. We're going to come on at 9 p.m. I don't know why we're coming on so late, but we'll be back for more Black on Black Crime. Check out Late Night Talk with Nerdy Black Chicks, 11 p.m. What are you guys talking about this week? 11 p.m. Wednesday.
We'll definitely be talking about the situation in D.C. with Miriam's character. Y'all, I was set up tonight. I don't think I'll be playing black or white again.
No,
this is
going to
look
bad
either way.
No. You were fine with black and white. You, since it was just the two of us, you had the will. Because some of these stories, I didn't want them to be black either. So you know how this goes. But I had
a Don Lemon moment. Yeah. Oh, give myself a flag. Did he say we were like, please don't let him be black. Please don't let him be black.
You know, see, I want to play the little Sam Jackson clip, but I ain't want to go there. I'll have to leave that alone.
You got
to conjugate. All right. All right. We'll check you guys out next week. Thanks for joining us. You listen to Black on Black Crime on F3 Radio. We'll see you again next week. Later, Lavinia.
Later.